All right, tonight you're going to learn about a brand new tequila. I mean, one that's just come on the market that is absolutely unbelievable. Manuscrito. You're going to meet Jake Taylor, and he's going to talk about the story of him and his three best friends and their journey to set out to create their own tequila brand. And they didn't want to just go out and pick some white label tequila. They wanted to go actually help produce a profile and have a tequila with some meaning. And he's going to talk about the labels, the name, the story, and their passion and love for tequila. I know you're going to enjoy this one. So stick around and cheers. Have a great night. It's Tasting Tequila. Hey, Jake, I am fired up to have you on the show and talk about this brand new, amazing brand. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Brad. Thank you so much for having me. Likewise, I'm excited to talk to you. And Warren, we were able to meet two weeks down in Chicago. So I'm excited to connect a little bit more here.
Yeah, that was awesome to get to hang out with you guys a little bit and Oscar and to meet the living legend in person, Long Island Lou. That was pretty exciting for me as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad it worked out and been following your page and been a fan of you and your podcast and then the videos you put out on Instagram as well. So I had a little background when we first met as soon as I saw you, not to dive right into that event, but for us and for me, it was a little bit of like a pinch me moment, right? You've seen all these people that you follow and haven't talked to, haven't met, especially in person, going there and being with some pretty big hitters in the industry and people like yourself and yes, Lou Agave coming down with this or coming over. With his son, Dan, it was very cool. It was a very cool moment for us.
Now, it was a great event for me too. I was running around starstruck. It's like, oh, look, there's such right. and such. And getting to meet Lucas and Jay Bear and Agave Man and all of those guys in person was pretty, pretty awesome. So, well, tell us a little bit about you and your journey into tequila, how you found out about tequila, your love of tequila, where you're from. Give people a little piece of that so we can get to know who you are a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. We always joke about how much time you have because it's a lot. We're from Wisconsin, so it's me and two friends. We've been friends since second grade, elementary school, and always grew up being friends. Obviously, went out to college and then all live in the area here and remain friends, married with kids now. Our families remain friends. So it's cool to start something with those long-term, you know, friendships that we've had. And we are from Wisconsin. So a lot of people, when we say that, are like, tequila, like, obviously, Wisconsin's known for their beers, right? Their breweries and dark spirits, their brown spirits. So it's kind of funny and usually perks people are interested, like, how the heck do you get into tequila? And I say it like, so it started out so organically and very much so like a passion project early on. We don't like using that word because it's obviously a lot more than a passion project. But early on, how we started, I didn't know anything about tequila as of just a couple of years ago and just totally happened to kind of fall into it. Someone had me try it. I was like, oh, wow, this is here. But my experience, you think of tequila, you're thinking of the crappy tequilas of the world, not to name names, in your college days, right? Ripping shots. I didn't know there was good tequila that you can enjoy and sip on. And I just happened to be out one night and somebody said it, you know, the first reaction was, no, I'm good. And they're like, no, just try it. And there's a lot, it was incredible, right? I was shocked at how good it was. So just that little moment, how it spiraled into this, it's crazy. Just the things that have happened to us and this, you know, started learning about, like, wow, this is good. What is this? What is tequila? And where does it come from? Where is it made? How is it made? All those things. And from the whole production process to the agave plant, becoming fascinated with the agave plant, right? And the species, the various species of agave, and specifically the blue Weber and tequila, just really fascinating. So it just turned into this whole learning production. And then as that kind of grew, like looking for brands, very fortunate that we found a whole world of additive free tequila out there. And from Wisconsin, it was like, okay, how do you start a tequila company? How do you even start a spirits? We don't come from the spirits industry or have any spirits background. I just know that my partners are big bourbon drinkers, so they had a little bit of knowledge in that and were part of the whole growth of the bourbon, especially here in Wisconsin, where you're looking for bottles and chasing bottles, all that stuff. So they got pretty familiar with the industry and at least the Wisconsin market and the different stores and distribution. So as that kind of just grew. Again, this is the cliff notes because so much happened in there. Just like, how is tequila made? Where does it come from? What does it take? Having the entrepreneurial mindset, we've always talked about doing a business together and starting something together. What does it take to even start a tequila? And then as we start following all these pages and hearing about added-free tequila and seeing all these brands, we didn't find a lot of those here in Wisconsin. So we're like, hey, is there any? We have all these breweries, wineries, but distilleries that make all of these spirits. Obviously, tequila is made down in Mexico, of course, but nobody here owned a tequila company or tequila brand, right? There was some agave spirits brands, but no tequila. So then we saw an opportunity to be, hey, a state that has pretty healthy drinking habits, alcohol consumption, to be possibly a market's, you know, first in owning a tequila company and bringing the quality, bringing the added free tequila here to Wisconsin. Now, it's amazing how much is grown as tequila has grown, as you know, right? How much tequila has been growing here nationally. Because that was another piece of that is Wisconsin is always a couple of years behind the trends, whether it be, you know, in any category. So seeing the growth, though, in the last 18 months has been in the last 12 months, all these new, these other brands, added free brands that never were here are showing up here. So we want to get to the market and have a product here to, again, bring that a good quality craft premium added free tequila to a market that has very healthy drinking habits. So that's what we set out to do. We just totally fell in love with it. Definitely didn't happen overnight as we grew. And it was very easy sitting up here in Wisconsin, talking about what we wanted to do, right? What we wanted our name to be, our brand to be called, what we wanted our marketing, branding, everything to look, the bottle. And eventually, like, hey, we just got to get down to Mexico. We got to get down to Mexico and have that kind of speak to us, as cheesy as it is. So we kind of booked a quick trip down there, and the rest was history. We just fell even further, deeper in love with it and the spirit and the culture, and something we absolutely wanted to do. So it's been not the smoothest road, right? Nothing that's worth doing is easy, but it's been a lot of fun, and we've met a lot of awesome people. We've met from all over the world, let alone, you know, Wisconsin and the States, people from all over the world. So it's just incredible that the community, we've said it all the time, like the tequila community is amazing how open people are and open doors, arms, just any information. We've talked to the brand owners. They're like, oh yeah, hop on a call with you anytime. Tell you anything you want to know, ask any questions. So it's amazing how welcoming people are in this community has been. So it's been a very, very cool, awesome ride so far, getting to where we're at now.
So tell me about how you ended up at NOM 1643. Like, did you visit multiple distilleries before you ended up there and meeting Roberto?
Yeah. So to add on to your question, kind of because part of that story and how that all happened is a little bit of our name, a little bit of the bottle, as you have in front of you, the kind of that imagery. So when we went first down there, again, sitting up here, as you're seeing all these, you see these big, the big distilleries, right? The big name ones, the big noms, the Coscoweens of the world, the Help Indias of the world, the Viva Mexicos of the world, right? It's like, oh yeah, we're going to get in there. We're going to go there. Doesn't always happen that way. There's a lot going on. Everybody wants to get in there. So we went down there early in 2024. We're working with a company that we found, a logistics company down there that like organized, you know, several different distillery tours for us. And then in that first trip is when it's like, yeah, this is, we want to do this and we can do this. And it was that one particular distillery, kind of the sort of that image back to the bottle, that image of the tree and the table. We were sitting in a distillery's courtyard, out in their courtyard, beautiful courtyard, where that's where it kind of hit us. And we're like, part of it, it was the last one of the day, most fun one of the day. Had some good tequila in us. We're like, but this felt so right. It felt so real and felt like something we wanted to do and that we think we can do. And as we were sitting there under that tree, they gave us a piece of paper and they said, write down what are your goals, your ideas, your visions, what you're looking for us. So we kind of felt like we wrote our brand's manuscript there. So Manuscrito, our name, the direct translation's manuscript. That didn't dawn on us until the next day driving to the airport, is when my partner Mike said that, because again, part of that journey down there, that trip down there, everyone's asking us, what's your story? What's your name? And our response was always, we want this trip to speak to us. We want that to come out. And it did exactly that. So Mike said Manuscrito. We immediately asked our driver, like, hey, what does Manuscrito mean? And the direct translation manuscript. But of course, down there, having deeper meaning, Manu, hand, Scrito, scribe. So the traditional way of writing, the traditional way of making, of telling a story, the traditional way of making tequila. And then every batch of added free tequila, every agave plant has its own story to tell, right? So we immediately called the distiller, the master distiller at the time. And like, we told him that name and how it meant, and he loved it. He's like, yeah, you know, he loved the concept of being able to tell our brand story, our profile, you know, through that production process. And now it's amazing with water, agave, yeast, three ingredients, you can have these different profiles. So we can tell our and tell a story from his point of view, but in our brand story through that production process. So that was great. Come back to reality up here. The workings and the numbers and all that stuff didn't necessarily work out, but we still were all in on this. So we've been down there a couple times last year. In this cabinet here behind me, I got, I don't even know how many samples of different distilleries that we had shipped up here and everything like that. And we've had a lot of back and forth, you know, going down there and getting stuff shipped up here. We've had a lot of back and forth, a lot of time, money, energy, and finding the right partner. Part of that is somebody agreeing to, you know, do what we wanted to do, right, in our cooking process, because it is a little bit longer, extended. Some people said, hey, no, you can't do that. We can't have you in that. We got to get the other brands in. So that was a factor. And then some of the ones that, you know, were willing to do that couldn't make the tequila that we were willing to put our names on and get behind. We have been very selective through this entire process from the bottle label, but the tequila, obviously, that's in the bottle, that being the biggest thing. And we've been very selective. So on paper, sitting up here, good social media presence. They have all this equipment that we think can make a tequila. The app, Tequila Matchmakers, not really highly rated tequilas. We thought we could change the world, and we were proven wrong that we couldn't change the world. And a lot of that does come down to the, right, the master distiller that has his hands in there. You can have all the best equipment in the world, but if you don't have the guy that can, you know, make it to our standards, of course, you know, subjective, that equipment doesn't matter much, right? And you can obviously make, there's a lot of master distillers that can make very good tequila with different equipment. So a lot of back and forth, and then in time, but Oscar Vasquez, our master distiller, never met the guy, just saw him online, saw him through, you know, the different projects he started working on. And for some reason, in late October of last year, I simply sent him a Instagram message that said, hey, would you be willing to hop on a virtual call and talk about tequila? And that me and my buddies, we're trying to start a tequila company. We're going to be down there next week in Mexico. We'd love to meet. And next day, he hopped on a call again. The industry just being so welcoming and helpful, hops on a call with me. And we talked about what we were looking to do, right? Our project, kind of how we had the name, they had the bottle, and what we were looking for in a distillery, from equipment to capacity, all these different things, or number of brands, I should say, all these different things. One of which we had a particular nom in mind that we just knew that he was associated with. Mm-hmm. And he's lined up two other ones on that trip, and El Sabino, you know, NAM 1643 was one of them, of course. And on paper, again, we loved that. We started just doing some research in the brands that they have, you know, the distillery, the equipment, all these things. And we knew right away that is a place that was, you know, really, we were really eager to see and meet the people there, meet Roberto, and hopefully get a relation with us. And luckily we did. We went down there. So Oscar showed us the place. He showed us around. Quick side story, because we had our name and we had that bottle, we had that imagery, and El Sabino, we didn't think at the time to ask, you know, what does El Sabino mean? We're walking around with a, you know, a little bit different bottle, but that same kind of image and label, and we're taking pictures, and it didn't dawn on us till we got home, like, hey, what does El Sabino even mean? And it's a type of tree. It's a species of tree that's native there. It's actually on Jesus Maria, so the distillery is in the town of Jesus Maria. It's on their flag, their colors, and we're like, Oscar, like, we were just down there for 3 days carrying around a bottle with a tree on it. And we didn't think that, one, we didn't notice the trees on the property. It didn't stand out to us, but you didn't happen to think like, hey, this distillery is named after a tree. So it's just kind of funny to joke about. But no, he introduced us to the distillery and Roberto, and we loved it. We loved everything they were doing, and the rest is history there. So we were, and part of that is in our brand, not to be over the place, but like a tribute to that date. So on October 31st is where we went to the distillery, fell in love with the distillery, and wanted to work there at the distillery and truly partner with them. So on October 31st, so that's 10/31. That's a little bit, that date has significance, right? And our brand and our brand story is our high proof. Our high proof is, which I believe you have in your glass there. Yes. I as well have the high proof in the glass, but our proof of the high proof, salute.
Cheers.
The good stuff.
So good.
We're very proud of our both our products, but obviously our high proof. So to go back to, you know, the story, October 31st, 10/31, our high proof is 103.1 proof. So that's 51.55% alcohol. Two things. One, it's different because people ask about it, but that date has some significance in our brand. And it was obviously a huge relief what we'd say, finding a home as we were bouncing around down there and getting all these samples. So it felt so good to get a true partnership and really start this whole, bringing this brand to, you know, real life and getting up here in the States. So that date has some significance. And that's kind of how we met them through Oscar, but it all just started with a simple message on Instagram asking a guy if he wants to talk. So we're very fortunate that obviously the El Sabino is doing a lot of great things right now. Roberto's awesome. We couldn't have asked for, you know, a better distillery owner and partner in this. And we couldn't have asked for a better master distiller in Oscar. And both their names and the brands that they're working on has been getting a lot of attention and they've been growing. So it's pretty cool that we were able to kind of get in as they're getting hot like this. So it's very neat.
I agree. I mean, Roberto, for a guy who's 35 years old, seems like he has a whole lot more history behind him to only be 35 years old. And then Oscar has become a very good friend. He's absolutely one of the most amazing humans I've met. He's just so nice and open and such a hard worker. And to use one of his phrases, at the end of the day, you can trust him all the time. He's so awesome. So
yes,
there's no doubt the juice was going to be good when Oscar first told me about it. And he's like, I have a new brand and you're going to love it. And of course he wouldn't tell me any name. He wouldn't tell me anything about it. He wouldn't tell me where it was being made, just that it's a new brand and I was going to love it. And Saturday when we were actually, it was Saturday in Chicago. He's like, see, I told you. It's like, yes, you did. You did.
Yep.
So it's such a great story. And you actually gathered a couple of my questions on one. I was going to ask you about the name and how you came up with that. So that was perfect. And you weaved the label in there as well, which the label to me, both front and back, is awesome. The front label it creates so much curiosity of what it is, but you also bring this really deep, authentic look to it. To tequila, and you got Oscar's name on there, and you've got the altitude of the distillery. You've got some really great information. I see it says single estate for the agaves. Are these agaves that are part of Roberto's farm?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you haven't been there, I highly suggest you and everybody go down there. The property is just incredible, beautiful. So it's about 1,300 acres. They have five, it's in the highlands, like the altitude on there. So the, just the views around the property alone, you know, with the mountains and the sunrise and the sunset is just incredible going behind the mountains. They have five natural ponds. They do some crop rotations with different, the corn and beans and tomatoes to, you know, keep that ground fresh and vibrant. And in the five natural ponds, how they're able to kind of engineer some trenches to the rainy season, which they're in, kind of flow and naturally water those different plots of agave, but there's a lot of agave there. So it's very cool. And I've been down there several times, a couple times this year. I'm actually going back down this weekend. I'm going to be down there for several days, but seeing the fields of, you know, the fully mature, ready to kind of go agave all the way down to just freshly planted. So Oscar and I, we helped kind of plant some of those, the baby agave as they were harvested and replanted in different fields. So they have not only all this agave, but they're properly managing it, and they're managing it. They're not depending on other people to manage it, right? So that was super important to us, and something that I think is pretty unique for somebody to be have their hands on it and have that big of a property right there, have that big of a property and that big of an agave source on the land where the distillery is. So all single estate harvested there through Roberto's fields.
That's awesome. Now the back of your labels just as much information that I've ever seen on a bottle. I love that you've got your QR code that pops you right over to your Instagram. Wisconsin inspired, Mexican made. I love that. And you're giving the information about it. Deep well water, copper still pots, twice distilled, 48 hour cooking time in a brick oven, native yeast, roller mill, open air stainless steel fermentation. I love that you've put it right on there. So for us true nerds that see a bottle we've never seen before, and the first thing we do is we go online and we pull open the Tequila Matchmaker. We want to get some information. You've put it right here, which is, I think, really important. I think more people should do. So now that we've talked about the production on the label, is there anything you want to add to that about your production methods?
We want to be very traditional in a sense. And if I, just to go back a little bit, I apologize, a little bit of our production. I know we went over the kind of the notes, but one thing that our label really doesn't say in the back is like, it's a 48 hour cook. It's also a 24-hour rest. So we don't open our doors for 72 hours. So they're in the brick ovens. They have 40-ton brick ovens. So they're in there for 72 hours. Of course, once the oven turns off, they're still cooking, right, as they're cooling off. So they're still cooking for another 24 hours before that opens up. And then some of that, yes, in the fermentation phase of the production, a little bit different. We do add, as a whole, different. We do add fibers in fermentation. So after that, we go through a roller mill. Once the juice is extracted from that roller mill, that agave fibers are collected. They're put in essentially potato sacks and put in the fermentation tanks with it. It gives you another layer of like flavor, right? Complexity. But then we do what's called a lactic fermentation. So we ferment longer. It's like typically a 3 to 5 day longer fermenting process, which we feel gives you a very good mouthfeel, good viscosity, and a longer finish there. So adding both those in there, and then like the back says, twice distilled and 100% copper pots. So those are some of the kind of non-negotiables, we call them, that we wanted to have in our process and done. And that's the easy stuff to put on paper. The hard stuff is actually having the hands like Oscar's to do that and implement it and still come out at the end with a unique product and a unique profile. So yeah, we and then there's room for more experiments, if you will, in different stages, but the fermentation stage. So it's fun. Now that we're here, it's getting into seeing what we can do to make special releases and single releases, not only in barrels, but tequila, using some of the equipment they have and do different ways and see what product you can make out of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That. So, but I do have a question on the back of these bottles. One of them looks like the guy sitting by the tree on your chapter two, and on your chapter one, you don't have a guy sitting by a tree. You've got a table with a nice like table setting for one, right? That's on the front and the back. What's the story behind the table setting versus the guy that already drank too much high proof tequila and is resting against the tree?
Right? Yeah, good question. So the tree and the table there, that was more the back to the how our brand started just sitting underneath that tree. Obviously, we were on a little bit bigger tree that fit more than just one. It was us and then some people from the distillery and such. But the elegance of the tree, the single tree, the single seat, or the single table, I'm sorry, and chair with the pen, the feather pen, again, that traditional way of writing, that traditional way of telling a story, sitting there. And then for the high proof, part of that, we wanted to have obviously a bottle that stood out and one that especially stood out from our Blanco. We really liked some of the darker labels and some of that, I don't want to say trend, but like that high proof of, some darker labels of the high proof. So when we were going over, we loved the idea of also part of it is the other side of the tree. So like the sun's over here, someone's out working all day, right? Can take some notes on the field, on the property. But after a long, hard day of work, maybe some tequila, getting that rest along the tree. So that is a worker. And then as well, which we got a little bit darker with a black lab laying there with the worker. And that's actually a little bit of a tribute to I have a black lab that recently passed away as we were designing that label. So we thought we'd throw a little nugget in there of a best dog I ever had and 13 years old or 2-3 days before her 13th birthday passed away. So we wanted to throw her in there. So it's a little bit of the other side of the tree, the nighttime setting, long, hard days work in the fields, resting under the moonlight and just in a field of agave. Again, if you go to that property, it speaks to that. There's just the fields and the views from there are just incredible. And with that, to just elaborate further is, we really like the idea of a mural and we really like the idea. So not to give too much away, but we love the idea as these are connected. And yes, chapter one kind of goes backwards, chapter two. But you can expect that, going forward in these other chapters, kind of being able to have these bottles together, making, putting them all together, the different SKUs with the different expressions, making this mural of our brand. And not to go get too far ahead, but if you see over here, we do have some tequila in barrels. So we have a couple single barrels that were just shipped up to us. That we, trying out and mixing different blends. And that's part of the things I'm doing down there with Oscar and Roberto this weekend is working on the barreling and the reposado. So we do have tequila just hit the 3 month mark and about the 2.5 month mark. So in that reposado category. So we want to come out with a, you know, another expression here, a repo expression soon. So we're designing that label as well as the product. We're using different barrels down there. So that's why, and then we just, you know, for the back label, so this image, just a closer in-depth look at that, you know, that front image, and just highlighting the main part there on the back.
I think it's awesome. So you mentioned a repo coming. So tell me a little bit about the repo, or tell me what you can tell me, or what you want to tell me about the repo. Are we high proof? Are we regular proof? What kind of barrels? What's your secrets on the repo that's coming?
We have great questions. Some of that stuff, we're exploring all those options of like the proof. We love, so our Blanco is 85 proof, so 42.5, so a little bit overproof, just like our high proof. I feel there's a little bit overproof in the kind of the market norm of high proofs. But so we really like being in that 85 proof. We think more flavor, more boldness. So same for our repo. Our repo, we definitely want to have at the 85 proof, so that 42.5%. But we like high proofs. These are all still strength, you know, back here, and they're good. And we like the higher proof. So we kind of like, man, I feel like we would love to come out with two different repos, right? Kind of the base, the 85 proof, and also the higher proof repo. And again, I think that the date works well, that the 103.1 proof, that's just, it's a good, you know, it's in that high proof category. It is a little bit overproof. So that makes sense to keep it there. So, but that part is to be determined. We do want our repo to be, you know, the 85 proof, the 42.5%. Some of it, as you're starting and not to go back, but one of the things that Roberto was also able to do that a lot of distilleries wouldn't do was make us a full from scratch profile. We were very reluctant to, you know, some of these distilleries, they kind of blend some together. They have different samples, if you will, of different production methods, and they kind of, you give them profile and they kind of look for something that'll fit there. And some of it's a little bit of trust and blind faith going into the full production. Well, Roberto was able to, from scratch, harvest some agave. We did a very small batch just for really us and to see if we would like it. We loved it and went into the full production. So we were able to try it before doing the full production and know that we really liked the product. Some similarities with the barrel, obviously the tequila is already made, but we have different barrels that we're experimenting with. And we want to really fully know what we're going to get as best as we can, because every batch can be a little bit different, right? And every barrel is a little bit different, but kind of have a very, very good understanding of what kind of product we're going to be coming out with before, you know, fully launch it. So we do have some different barrels down there right now aging. Again, that's why there's some are, you know, over the 3 month mark now, some are a little bit behind in the 2 month mark now. We were fortunate to meet some barreling companies along the way here and really pick their brain, because we're Blanco guys. I love Blanco, my partners, they love Blanco. And as we, you know, launching this, a lot of our market research was geared towards Blanco and learning all about the Blanco profile. And because we believe that, you know, you got to have a good Blanco. You got to have a good base. We want to use, obviously, our tequila in our repo and make it the same way that we make our Blanco. We want it to be a very good, you know, resemblance of our Blanco with some barrel notes in there. So kind of with that, we like, you know, that they keep that agave flavor, you know, forward versus I think some of the barrels you get, you can really, especially some of the ex-whiskey and ex-bourbon, kind of mask some of that agave flavor. Still very good, but just masking that agave with certain barrels that we're learning and educating ourselves on, you can really complement the agave versus mask it. And that's with some brandy barrels, some Chardonnay barrels. So these ones back here are some Chardonnay barrels as well as some ex-whiskey, but not too sweet. We were a little worried, like, a Chardonnay, is it going to be too sweet? And we don't think so. It's still, you know, really good color on it, but agave forward. Obviously, they're just they're in the lower end of the repo, but still you get a lot of agave in there, not a complete mask of those flavors. One of the companies we've been working with, though, is called The Barrel Broker. I'll give a shout out to John Gill. He's been awesome, a wealth of knowledge. He's from Mequon, Wisconsin, so not far from us. And he gets barrels from all over the country. He can, you know, source them outside, but then he gets a lot of barrels here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin, again, going back to, they're very known for their darker spirits. There's a lot of distilleries here that are making brandy, whiskey, bourbon now, right? So there's a lot of barrels to be had here. And so just doing some different experiments, trying, we want to have like a base repo But we're also looking to do some limited releases or single releases and some good key partnerships with distilleries, wineries, breweries from all over, but especially Wisconsin ones, especially some limited release or single releases. So we're experimenting there, but we do have a good concept, and that's part of what we're going to be doing down this trip is really honing in on exactly the ratio of barrel blends we want to have there. But we want to be agave forward. We do want to come out with it soon. So that's another tip is spoiler alert, that we do want to come out with our repo soon and have it get closer to that the lower end of the 2 month mark, but also have barrels, tequila and barrels for añejos, you know, down the road. So.
And is each one you're going to do in this chapter format with a different type of label and a different chapter with, even with your special releases?
Yeah, great question. And thank you. Yes. Again, we look at Montescrito as our brand's story, our brand story. And every different expression in there is a chapter of that story, right? And then to go even further, you know, instead of batch number, we have page number. So every batch, every page has been added free, has a little bit of different variance, whether at the time of year you harvest agave, obviously the agave itself and the cycle it's had in its 6 to 8 year life can be a little different. So not only do we want to have like every expression, a different chapter of our story, but every batch of our story being a different page of those chapters. So yes, we want to have going forward the different chapters.
I'm going to have to build a whole other bar to have this your encyclopedia of tequila on my wall, right?
Right, exactly.
That is such a cool idea. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's elegant. It's cool. It's traditional. Like you've got so many really cool things all working together here. And outside of all of the cool things around the label and the name and what you're doing, you have spectacular tequila, and it truly, really is fantastic tequila. And I don't know your price point. So what's your price point on your Blanco and what's the price point on your high proof?
Yeah, well, thank you. So that is, it's extremely humbling, and we take a lot of pride in tequila being subjective, us liking it and believing in it and buying into it. And, you know, just on our market research, what people like, we felt like, yeah, we would have a good tequila, but it's very cool to see some of the validation that we've been getting from the market, from different awards. We were able to participate in the Gavos Awards, both of which winning gold medals and double gold medals. And then also the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, our high proof won a double gold with a 96 point score. So it's very cool to see that, right? And then having people try it and get that feedback that our tequila is good. And then, you know, we helped launch actually the Wisconsin Tequila Club, the Wisconsin Tequila Collective, with Tim, and he did a March Madness blind taste testing. There's 16 brands, you know, one of which being ours, and to do a blind taste test, just, you know, members, and our Blanco ended up winning that. So it's just like, again, that was kind of the first award we got. Like, how cool is that? Blind tastes. And with, you know, big names that we really look up to and that we really love and enjoy their tequila, to win that was pretty neat. So it is cool to see that market validation and getting that positive feedback. Price point wise, in Illinois. So we're launching in Wisconsin and Illinois right away. And humbled to say that we, you know, expanding, and we've been having different companies reach out from other states to expand in other states. But our Blanco is retailing for $49.99, and our high proof is retailing for $64.99. Both of which, you know, we think are competitive. Obviously there's a lot of good brands out there, but we wanted to be under that 50 mark, and that's gives room for especially some accounts and bigger accounts that we can get in the industry works, the world works with the different, Wisconsin's a three-tiered system, right? So we sell to the distributor, they sell to the retailer, they sell to the customer, everyone has to get a little piece. That they were able to, you know, have some room for promotions there to keep it under that 50. And again, we think it's, you know, with the quality craft tequila, but also the higher proof can be pretty competitive in that space for both the high proof and the Blanco.
Yeah, I mean, so that was with a goal your Blanco of ours. Being, your Blanco is already a little bit of a higher proof, so that's a great price point. You think of companies that are getting it all the way down to 80, that's just a little more water, a little less tequila in the bottle, a little more profit from the water. And you're having it come out at a higher proof from the get. And then your high proof, your still strength is so good. Those are phenomenal price points. When you said Wisconsin and Illinois, I really was hoping you were going to add Indiana to that. So I could,
we'd love to.
I can go get this in my buddy's liquor stores and I could just go buy it there. So
Yeah. Stay tuned. We're
a hard, Indiana's a hard nut to crack. I'm telling you, it's we have to drive to Chicago to get great tequila.
Well, I don't know where you're at in Indiana, but hopefully not too far of a drive, but we would love to be in Indiana. We would love that. Obviously we wouldn't be in many states, but yeah, we've got some good feedback from people from Indiana, not just yourself. And it sounds like a pretty, I don't want to say untapped market, but a market that has, a lot of room for growth with their tequila. So that'd be very neat, but yeah, so we wanted to be there in that price point. So, for many reasons, right? There's a science behind that. Some people would never touch a $20 bottle, and there's going to be some $20 bottles that are really good. You might have had them on your podcast here recently. Very good brands in that price point. But so there's a little bit of a game there, but we just knew we wanted to be under the $50 range. And we think in that space with the higher proof, like you mentioned, being competitive for what you're getting.
Yeah. You've hit it out of the park on all of it. I mean, you've got great presentation, great tequila, great price point. Now we just got to help you get it sold everywhere and world domination. I think that's the goal for every tequila brand. And if we can help you do that, I'm more than happy to do that.
Well, we appreciate that. But yeah, on that note, we're just very humbled by the outreach that we have had and people reaching out to us from other states and wanting to carry us, distribute us, all sorts of things. Just buy it at a store. So we've been kind of growing a pretty cool presence within the tequila community, but also, just the country, people reaching out, getting more and more followers here on Instagram. And yeah, it's one thing, you mentioned on our bottle, that QR code going to our Instagram page, because we have some ideas and that we want to do there to kind of highlight the people. But taking you there, obviously there's a link in our bio that does take you to our website, but we want to take people directly to our social media page and really get a good presence there.
Yeah. I can see as each new thing comes out that there's going to be an excitement around it, because you've already brought this great tequila, and I'm the nerdy guy that can't wait to see the next logo, what the next label is going to look like, what I get fired up about all of that. So I think there's a lot of people that will too. But on the same note, it's a bottle that someone could see on the shelf and go, hey, that's really cool. It's in the good price point. It's a little bit higher proof. And wow, it's an amazing tequila. So that's really exciting as well. So let me ask you this. So now that first of all, I want to commend you on the crash course you gave yourself in tequila, because based on your knowledge and what we've talked about, I've been drinking good tequila for 20 plus years and learning about this for a very long time. And you've somehow crash course this and learned it all very quickly. And that is very impressive. Do you learn everything that fast?
I wish. No. And thank you. Crash course is a good way to put it. That's why I don't like using the word passion project, because that's how it started. But we absolutely have been, and my partners as well, we have absolutely dove, full speed ahead, head first into this brand, this product, this industry, and learning as much as we can from obviously market research, trying different tequilas. I got my tequila bar back here, but our production process, but just the production process in general. So we have educated ourselves, and something, right, they say that connection, when you really truly believe in something and passionate about something, you learn a little bit faster. So we've been that. We have a lot of passion and a lot of excitement in the tequila world, but obviously our brand. So we have been trying to learn as fast as we can, not to rush or cut corners, but just to get to the market and capitalize on the growth that the industry has been having. So it's crash course, and it's nonstop. It's nonstop. I coach all my kids in sports. I love doing that because it's like my time where I kind of unplug for a little bit, and I am with them and involved in their games and their sports. But it is like every waking second, I feel like I'm on my phone, learning, reading, talking to people. And then obviously as we're talking with accounts and selling tequila, more and more connections. So it's been cool. It's the old adage, if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. It doesn't feel like work. It's constantly on our minds. It's constantly on my mind, and just learning as much as we can and just taking it all in and enjoying every moment of it. It's been awesome.
Well, if somebody asked me today, what's a new tequila brand that didn't make a tequila just to make money and has their heart in what they're doing, it's you guys. I mean,
thank you.
You've put thought behind all of it, and you've done it in a way to honor the people in Mexico and the people who are behind making the brands and working with some phenomenal people. So I commend you for that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot because it is, you know, what, again, back to some of that is the Midwest values, right? Of which we've been very selective and we've been very intentional as much as you can on every piece of our product, our brand. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it. So it means a lot to hear that.
Nobody's met really mean Wisconsins unless you're not a Packers fan and you're in their stadium.
Yeah, unless not all teams, just mainly the Chicago teams.
Exactly.
No, we got a good fun rivalry with them.
Yeah. Okay, so now that you've created this, if you could sit down with any one person, anybody in the world, live, dead, anybody, and sit down and share the tequila and get to tell a little bit of this story to, who would be like the most amazing person for you to be able to sit down and really share what you've learned, the passion that you have for it, and this amazing tequila?
Easy answer. My dad. So my dad passed away 3 years ago. So my dad passed away. So yes, I would absolutely love. This was not on his radar prior to passing. So it's all something that's kind of started mainly afterwards. I think he'd be very proud, right? I think he always told me to do something you love. Do something you're passionate about. I think it's very cool. And my dad was a good guy. He's very talkative, high energy, high passion, blessing and a curse. It's a blessing and a curse of me, right? But I have a lot of those traits. So I think it would be a very easy answer. Nobody else I'd rather sit down and I have a glass with and just, yeah, show him what we built, show him what we did. I think I'd be very proud of that.
Oh, he would be amazed. I mean, I don't know anything about your father, but I've met you and talking to you tonight and talking to you last weekend, I know how much passion you have. And I guarantee he would be excited just to see your face light up. Because when you start talking about your tequila, I'm sure you're the same way when you're talking about your kids or when one of them does something awesome in the sports that you coach and you have this great feeling when they're really happy or when they did something good. I guarantee that's there. And he probably would end up being a tequila guy after spending a little bit of time with you talking about tequila. So thanks for sharing that. That's really awesome.
Yeah. I
know.
I apologize. I'm sure I don't have to, but I apologize. But yeah, I think he would. I think he would be a tequila guy. And he's always been a huge supporter. It's funny how you're turning your parents a little bit. But my dad was always very passionate about me and my siblings and our sports and stuff and talking about it. And when you're a kid, it's like, Dad, come on, like, stop talking about it. And it's hard not to. I love my kids. They're young. Our oldest is 8. We have three boys. The other one over there, we have 3 boys. But it's amazing how you have those same personalities. It's hard not to. I care about them. I'm very proud of them. Yes, they're 8, but they're very, at their age, they're very successful, I was going to say. But, you know, but for their age and the sports that they do, they put a lot of effort into it and they really care. And they're good little athletes. Obviously, it's more than that, right? They're good kids, good learners. So, yeah, it's I share those same traits and passion in other areas, one of which being family. But, yeah, you would think it'd be very cool. So I'd love to share a glass with them for sure.
Well, I know you had a great father, and I'm sure you have great kids, because one of the things you came up and said something to us at breakfast in Chicago, and it was pretty early. I think you said you'd already done a workout. I was just trying to get a Red Bull back into my body after Friday night. And when you left, my wife looked at me and goes, he is a genuine, very nice guy. And my wife is, I want to say she's a great judge in character. I say she's only made really one bad decision 35 right. years ago, and you're looking square at him, but she's a great judge of character, and she was very impressed with you and really your whole team and the people that we met. So
thank you.
So that means go ahead.
I was just saying that means a lot as well. So that's thank you for sharing that.
Pretty awesome, my friend. All right. Tell everybody what your website is. Although I'm going to put it up here so they can see it. What's your website?
Montescritotequila.com is their website.
Okay. And so, social media. Where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, right now we're on Facebook. Our main presence is on Instagram. So just Montescrito_tequila on Instagram. And we have a Facebook page and some of the small, we have like a Pinterest page and stuff like that. But our two biggest ones are Instagram as well as Facebook. We do want to continue to develop our website and be more user-facing, right, and interactive. So some of that stuff is to be determined as well. So stay tuned. We'd love to, you know, people go on there. One, give us a follow, check out our website, sign up, because we want to start posting, sending out different updates, plans, ideas, all sorts of stuff, where it can be found as we grow in stores, with states. So yeah, keep people in the loop.
So one thing that you don't know about that I'm pretty excited about is my friend Oscar and I are doing a series where he's talking about manufacturing tequila. And when I say manufacturing, I'm talking about the most traditional aspects. And we're going to break down each position, each thing in each step and how it can change product and flavor. And your tequila is going to be highlighted in there when we talk about fermentation. And he's really excited that we're trying to pin a date down so we can get that recorded. So there's going to be a whole lot of talk about your brand, not just today and not just in the tons of reviews that you're going to see from people and the tons of positive information you're going to see on the internet, but also some technical information. And I'm really excited about doing that with Oscar and having him share the techniques of making this great tequila.
Yeah, that's very cool. Oscar's like you mentioned, you know, he's a great guy. He's a wealth of knowledge. And some of that we wanted to, you know, pick in his brain on some of the ways to be different in that process. So yeah.
Well, on your website, do you guys have e-commerce available on the website too? Can they buy it online, or is that something that's coming soon?
A little bit of both. So okay. Yes, right now it's currently available. So we have the two expressions, the Blanco and High Proof. It does, you know, on our website, there's a shop up top to click on. And when you go in to order any one of those, it takes you right now to a company called Sealbox. They're out of Washington, D.C. So they're an online distributor, online retailer out of Washington, D.C. that sells, you know, different spirits. But so we're on there. Our product is on there for sale. You know, obviously with some of the liquor laws, everything behind it, we do want to explore making that more maybe efficient or plugins, all those things to have a better website. But yes, yeah, so you can go on our website. You can go to our shops page. Right now you can buy the High Proof and Blanco, which takes you to Sealbox. We also want to have some different products, right? We this polo that we came on mm-hmm. with, and we have some shirts, we have some hats made. So there's also going to be some, you know, merch, some brand merch that you can purchase on our website here very shortly.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's good that you have it available for people to be able to buy in other states, because I'm in Indiana and we don't have a lot of great tequila. And I know a lot of people watch this show ask me, where can you get things? Where can you get things? So I'm glad that you have an option for people to order it and have it sent to them. So I appreciate you taking your time tonight and being yeah. with me. Is there anything that we haven't shared that you want to, did I miss anything? Did we miss anything that you could put in here tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like we covered a lot, but I can go deeper dive in everything, but no, I really appreciate the time, Brad. I'm glad I've been a fan following your page for a while. I've listened to your episodes, your podcast. So it was cool to meet in person and have the opportunity to come on here and talk with you. But I would just say, stay tuned. Again, give us a follow and go on our website and subscribe to the email thing. We'll be posting different projects we're coming out with, different opportunities, different events, right? As we grow and expand to other states, different products, different tastings, different events, all to come. So the three of us are, like we've talked about, are very passionate about our brand, very passionate about tequila. We want to be the face of our product. You know, we want to be out there not only with accounts, but the consumers. That's why we like doing things like the Sabor and not having reps there. We want to be there. We want to be the face of this. And I don't think anyone tells or talks about our brand as much as we do or as well as we do. So we like being out with the people, with the customers, and making them feel like they're important, because they are. They absolutely are. It's much bigger than, you know, just selling to one distributor in each state, right? We want to connect and be part of people's stories, people's lives as much as we can. So I'm an open book. If you can't tell, I'm an open book. I always say, people, you know, I'm a website, you know, my number's on there. I'm happy to talk to anybody. I'm happy to explore anything with anybody, different opportunities, but getting them product. Obviously on Instagram, we have a guy that helps out with our Instagram kind of reels and content, but I'm on there daily interacting with people and responding to messages. So I'll just say, keep that coming and feel free to reach out anytime. If there's anything I can do, ask, anything like, you know, advice, whatever it is, answer any questions, whatever it is, I'm here and I want to be available for people. So.
Well, I want to say thank you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your passion. Thanks for not just being a guy that wanted to make money in tequila and have a label and some juice that someone just put in it and actually making something that's your own. And I'm proud to know you, and I'm really excited about your tequila brand. I know you're going to go far. So I got a teeny bit left to salute you for the Same. Evening. Cheers, my friend. Have Cheers. A fantastic night, and thank you.
Brad, thank you so much. Salute.